A Kind Voice Radio.
Welcome to A Kind Voice Radio. I'm your host, Jessica Grinspan, and today we're excited to speak to Genevieve Frederick, founder and president of Feeding Pets of the Homeless. Feeding Pets of the Homeless is a nonprofit organization and the only national animal organization focused on feeding and providing emergency veterinary care to the pets of homeless people. They harness the healing power of companionship through the human and animal bond, which spreads hope to relieve suffering. Genevieve, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so this is such a cool thing that you're doing. Did I sum that up about right?
You certainly did. We have four unique programs that we offer to homeless people here. One is pet food, and then, as you said, emergency veterinarian care, wellness clinics that we sponsor across the country, as well as our sleeping crate program, which we invite homeless shelters to get in touch with us, and we will drop ship collapsible crates to them so that they can allow homeless and their pets inside their shelters.
Oh, wow. So how common is it for the homeless people to have pets?
Oh, it's, you know, when you talk about pets, the average American family, there are 60% of families have at least one pet. So when people go into homelessness, most of the time they're taking those pets with them. Other times the pets that are roaming the streets find a homeless person and start following that person, and they get that human-animal bond, and then they attach to each other. Sometimes homeless will get a pet when they're in a camp of homeless people, and there'll be a couple of dogs there that have not been altered, and all of a sudden you'll get a couple of litters of puppies. And then all of a sudden, everybody wants a puppy, and not realizing the responsibility of caring for that pet. But they give so much comfort and love that a puppy's hard to resist.
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely want to get into some of the success stories and the personal touch here. But first, yeah, I'd love to hear how this organization began and what inspired you. You're in Carson City, right?
Right, and that's we're the capital of Nevada. We're a relatively small city, but we are the capital, and this is where we are because I'm the one that founded the organization, and it all happened probably 12 years ago when I was in New York City on a kind of a pleasure business trip and saw a gentleman on the streets with a pet by his side. He wasn't panhandling. He was just there. And it's not like I've never seen homeless people before, because we're very close to San Francisco and go to San Francisco. I've always been like most Americans. You put a blinder on and you walk past these people. But for whatever reason, that dog caught my attention. And so what happened was, on the way home, I was thinking, how is he taking care of that pet when he can't take care of himself? And so I started really looking into it and doing research. And I called the National Coalition for Homelessness. I called a few other national organizations that advocate for the homeless. And I asked them how many of these homeless on the streets of America have pets. And they kind of said, well, we think between 5% and 10%. We don't know for sure. So I thought, wow, that's amazing. I was shocked at that number. But when I called my local food bank, and I knew the executive director at the time, and I said, Monty, how many homeless are coming through here with pets? And he said, oh, Genevieve, it's so sad. when people pull up their families and they have a family pet in the car and they're coming here for food and trying to find, you know, social services, he said, I would say that number is closer to 25%. That really shocked me. So I figured, you know, I could do something. I don't know what it is going to be yet, but then I had an aha moment. I thought at least I could feed these pets across the country. So I started this program, and our legal name is Feeding Pets of the Homeless. So that was the first program, and I started reaching out to vet hospitals, groomers, people that were in the pet industry, and asking them, how would you like to be a donation site? You can collect pet food, show your community that you're socially responsible, and then take that pet food over to the local food bank where they're going to distribute it, because they're already distributing human food. So I asked my local vet if he thought this was a good idea. He said, absolutely. I talked to the food bank, and they said, we would love to be able to give that extra service, because we know people are buying pet food when they can use that money for rent or to pay the electric, pay the gas bill, pay their car insurance or whatever. So I wrote a press release, and it made the front page of our local community paper. And by that afternoon, that 50-gallon garbage trash can was full of pet food. And that was the beginning when I knew this was going to be something that was going to take off and be successful.
That is so amazing. Yeah. And it sort of makes sense. Like, as humans, we're very loath to go to like medical appointments for ourselves. But when you're caring for something else, yeah, you'd be willing to do anything for your pet.
Absolutely. The animal-human bond is so, so strong. We talk to homeless people that will not go into a shelter or any kind of a building if their pet is not allowed in there. So that prevents a lot of people from getting into a homeless shelter. It prevents them from getting into a county building that would where they would be able to get a social worker that will help them get out of that situation, because they have no place to leave that dog. So they can tie it up in the front and hope that it's still there when they come back out from this appointment. So, you know, that's another whole issue. But getting back to our emergency veterinarian care program, we have spent over $1 million in the last 10 years, and that's, I went nonprofit 10 years ago. So in that 10 years, we have treated over 19,000 pets across the country. So when a homeless person calls us, we vet them as carefully as we can, and then we find out where they are, because we know that only a small percentage of these people, 9%, have transportation. So they have to find a ride with somebody else to get to this hospital. So we always try to find the closest hospital to where they are. Now, we have 700 hospitals in our network across the country. But if there isn't a hospital that already knows about us and is working with us, then we reach out and we start cold calling so that we can get the closest vet. And then we pre-authorize an exam. Then the homeless person makes the appointment. We call them back and say, okay, make an appointment here. And then once they're at the hospital with the vet, then the vet or one of his techs or her techs calls us to tell us what the prognosis is, what the treatment is, if they need additional blood work, if they need x-rays, whatever the situation might be. So then we approve that amount, and they go ahead and do whatever it is that they need to do to get this animal out of pain. And then we pay the hospital directly at the time of service. So it's a great program for people that have no resources when their dog is hit by a car, when they're there's some kind of a problem with them. And I can tell you that the most common symptoms and diagnosis that we treat are like ear infection, teeth extractions, foxtail removals, laceration repairs, mass removals for tumors, and the parvo treatments, because a lot of these pets have never been to a vet, so they don't have vaccinations. So then that brings me to our third program. We offer vets across the country the opportunity to go where the homeless congregate and have a wellness clinic where they will give the dog or cat a basic exam and give them the vaccinations and the rabies shots so that these people are transient and they're roaming the streets, and we want to make sure that these dogs are not carrying any diseases in those communities. And the vets get that. They know that this is going to benefit their whole community, and they are very happy to do it. So we pay the hard costs of these clinics, and we help them by giving them some guidelines on how to do a wellness clinic, how to register these people, how to get them to go through. And it really doesn't take a lot of equipment, and it's more or less a folding table. We've done this in parking lots under tents with two or three folding tables and have seen 90 pets in 4 hours. So if at the time the vet is examining this animal and he realizes, wow, we got an ear infection and I don't have the medicine here and we need to do, or there's a mass that should be removed or we need to do a biopsy on it, then that becomes an emergency case and the doctor calls us and the homeless person, we talk to them as well and we try to get that animal in as quickly as possible. So
wow.
And then I already went over the whole program with our crate program, which unfortunately is not that successful because homeless shelters are so overcrowded. It's just been the problem with low-income housing. There just isn't enough. And a lot of the people that we talk to, and I can tell you the statistic, they are in 12% of them are employed in some fashion, but yet it's not enough for them to get into housing.
Yeah. I'm just curious. So, how common is it for, I mean, I guess it's not that common at all that, these homeless shelters would allow pets.
It's not common at all. And there are so few, but it's starting to catch on. I think, people are realizing that we've got to get these people off the streets and they got to be able to take their animals with them. So I think that cities around the country are realizing that this is something that they need to look into, and we're there to help as well.
You've done a lot of work with this, and it's been a nonprofit for 10 years, and I want to go a little later into how successful your global giving campaign has been so far. But what is your background in that you were able to just create this from the ground up and be so successful?
that's a good question. I think just the passion of wanting to help. And I have some background in marketing and promotion, and it's just something that I had retired early, and I retired too early. So this just came, and it was kind of meant to be. I don't know. The universe said, Genevieve, you need to do something to help these animals so they're not hungry and they're not in pain. And it just kind of that first program evolved into the next program that evolved into the next program. So it's been quite a journey for me, and I learn something new every single day.
Yeah, I'll bet. Totally agreed, like passion more than anything else. You know, if the passion is there, then you can create something beautiful, that the logistics will fall into place. So I can definitely hear your passion coming through. We do have to take a quick break. When we come back, I do want to hear some success stories. I'm sure you have a lot, and I've seen them on the website too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll get into some of that after
break.
The alchemy of kindness is one that we believe. When we reach out to each other, you know we both receive.
Hi, I'm Bruce Grammel, one of the original hosts on A Kind Voice Radio. My song, The Alchemy of Kindness, is about the good things that happen when kind voices come together. What you're about to hear is a message from Claire Bloom, who is using her kind voice to feed hungry children. We hope that you'll help Claire with her mission and make our world a kinder, more connected place, one act at a time.
Hi, I'm Claire Bloom. In 2011, I started End 68 Hours of Hunger in an effort to overcome childhood hunger right here in America. There are more than 16 million children in America who are hungry. Between the free lunch they get in school on Friday and the free breakfast they get in school on Monday. And what we know is that if we feed these children on the weekend, they can achieve 50% higher reading scores, 30% higher math scores, and are twice as likely to successfully complete the third grade, which is a primary indicator of high school graduation. To find out more, I'd love for you to be in contact with me. We have a website at www.end68hoursofhunger.org, or you can email me directly at n68hoursofhunger@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks.
A Kind Voice Radio.
Welcome back to A Kind Voice Radio. I'm your host, Jessica Grinspan, and today we're talking to Genevieve Frederick, founder and president of Feeding Pets of the Homeless. Genevieve, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we were talking about how this organization got started, and yeah, it just became such a wonderful success. And you said you learned something new every day, which I can imagine. What would you say is the greatest thing you've learned during this process?
I think the passion that our donors have for our mission, I think that is the most wonderful and most exciting thing for me, is knowing that our donors support us, and that so many times we get a note back or a written card from homeless that we've helped that show us that we're doing what we should be doing. It's great. I love it.
Yeah, I saw on your website a testimonial from someone who was so inspired by the help that you gave to his dog, I believe, that he was inspired to give back to the community. So it sort of creates a ripple effect there.
Yeah, I've got a couple of good stories. There's one gentleman that we helped a few years ago, and he was down on his luck, and he had a dog named Buddy Bear, and we helped that dog. And I'm not sure I remember. I mean, just to give you an idea, right now our case managers are handling 48 cases this week, so you can the cases come, and there each of these cases have such a interesting story, because these people are living in their cars, they're living in a tent, they're living in a weekly motel, maybe 1 week out of the month, that's all they can afford. Every single one of these people have a story, and their little companion is all they have in some cases. But for this particular man, we helped him, he was able to get back on his feet, and he has now a social worker. And he said to us, "You saved him. He saved me. Now we save others." It was such a great quote that he gave us, because they're allowing, at this social services office, they're allowing him to bring his dog to work with him now. And he wanted us to know that this was one of those success stories that we were able to help because the dog was in bad shape. So
yes.
That's one story that just is so heartwarming.
Yeah, I love that story. Just curious.
Yeah.
So you talk a lot about dogs. Are there other pets as well?
Oh, absolutely. I can tell you that 89% that we've treated are dogs. 11% are cats, and then we've actually treated a pig, a ferret, a reptile, and a bird.
Wow. Interesting. A pig. Where was the pig?
Yeah, a little pig.
Pigs are smart animals. They're very loyal, so I hear.
Yeah. And the most common breed that we treat are a pit bull terrier or a chihuahua. It's so interesting. And you know, those little dogs can be as much protection as a pit bull because they'll warn the person, especially the women. And I have to tell you that 61% of emergency cases that we've handled are women. And you don't think of women being homeless, but they're out there, but they stay very well hidden. And these little dogs, they alert if somebody is getting too close or if, you know, they bark a lot. I have a little dog that barks a lot, so I know.
Yeah,
anyway.
They can be loud.
yeah. But then, you know, as far as those statistics go, 5% of the emergency cases that we've handled are veterans, homeless veterans have these dogs that are companion to them. Sometimes they're emotional dogs. Sometimes they're considered service dogs. And it's then we also have 28% that are people that are disabled, either mentally or physically. So when people are shouting, go get a job, they just don't understand what these people are living with. There is no way that they could get a job. So, you know, I always am kind of like, please don't yell at these people because you have not walked in their shoes. You don't know their story. And these animals are usually the only thing that they have left that gives them any kind of comfort and love. And it's unconditional. These animals are amazing. It's such a joy for me to be able to help them. But I have another good story I'd like to share with you and your listeners.
Please.
It's about a police officer in Detroit, Michigan. And I did put this story on Global Giving as a report, so any of your viewers that want to actually read more about this. But the officer was on rounds, and he was concerned about a man that was on his beat that sleeps on a porch of an abandoned building. And one night, the dog got loose while the man was sleeping, and the police officer saw the dog and the man a few days later, I think, and the dog's ear was half hanging off and he had lacerations all around his throat. Obviously, he had been in a dog fight. So the police officer actually reached out to us and we were able to get an appointment for the, and we talked to the man and he'd been homeless for 3 years. And he also told us that he could not read or write, but his dog is about, an 8-year-old dog. Anyway, so the police officer was kind enough to give this dog and this man transportation to the hospital. So the hospital called us and said, it looks like we're going to have to amputate this ear. And we said, well, okay, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So they estimated that the surgery would cost about $950. So we hadn't worked with this hospital before, so we gave them a deposit. and the surgery was performed. They, of course, had to do injections, and they did a catheter and fluids with, and they had to keep the dog overnight. And they did some blood work, and they did a fecal test and a heartworm test, and they did all that stuff. And a police officer had taken pictures, so that we do have pictures of this particular animal. But the doctor was able to save the dog's ear by stitching it back, and he didn't charge us anything extra, thank goodness. Anyway, so they called us and said, well, the dog's ready to go home. And they called the police officer, and he went and found the man and brought him back. And the dog was so excited to see that owner that the police officer could barely take pictures. But we do have pictures of him and his dog, and it's just a great story. And this is, you know, we get calls from social workers, firemen, policemen. They reach out to us when they, on their beats, they see these people and these dogs, and they know that these dogs are suffering, and we're happy to help and work with these fine people out there.
Yeah, I was looking at some of those pictures, and I was going to ask you about that, because they, as I was going through, especially the ones that you sent to me, they're just very, it evokes like this raw emotion in me that's like, it makes me want to help. You know, some of it looks and just last week we interviewed a woman named Stephanie Glaros, who runs her own nonprofit called Humans of Minneapolis, and her story was really interesting because it started out sort of the same way. She encountered homeless Petrites, and for so long she kind of ignored them until she realized, like, I want to know their story. So she started taking their picture and interviewing them. And, it's really cool, like, what stories these people have. And you never know, and you can never judge. Yeah. So her philosophy was really cool. Yeah.
Some of these people that we talked to, they've got a very educated, and something happened, and their life just spiraled to the point where they were homeless. But they're very educated. They ran companies. The stories are just amazing. And like, she was out there talking to them and dealing with them. And we get that opportunity a number of times during the year when we have local wellness clinics here. Because most of all of our work is done out of our offices here in Carson, and it's all done by telephone. So we don't get that interaction unless we are at a wellness clinic and helping the vets do the exams and the vaccinations. So it's a good opportunity for my staff to be out there and see and hear, and it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I definitely want to learn more about how people can get involved, especially if they're not right there in Nevada. We'll get into that right after a quick break.
Hi, this is Corey from Runa. And at Runa, we make a number of different beverages, all from one leaf called guayusa. Guayusa is a naturally caffeinated leaf from the Ecuadorian Amazon. Indigenous peoples in that area have been brewing and drinking it like tea for thousands of years. All the guayusa that we sell is certified organic, fair trade, and non-GMO. And because guayusa is naturally packed with caffeine and antioxidants, it gives you this really nice, clear-headed, clean, and focused energy. We think of ourselves as a lifestyle brand because guayusa fuels you in doing whatever it is in your life that you need or love to do. So if it's one of those days where you need to sit at your desk for 8 hours and pound out some project or report, then guayusa is perfect for fueling you and doing that work. Alternatively, if it's a beautiful day out and you're going to do yoga in the park or you're going for a bike ride in the woods, then guayusa is perfect for fueling that as well. It gives you this amazing, full-body, wholesome energy and helps you feel fully alive. And that's why we call our company Runa. Runa is a Quechua word that actually means fully alive or fully living human being. We're sold in natural, organic food stores across the country, We're also in Whole Foods nationwide, and you can always find a store near you on our website with our store locator at runa.org. Go out to a store near you, grab a box or a bottle or a can, and crack one open and try one today.
He went without food, not to lose weight, but to help people lose generations of hate. While many around him rose up with violence, he sat down for peace. When others used religion as an excuse for war, he used it to remind them of love. Mahatma Gandhi made the world a far better place by reaching out with the strength he cultivated within his soul. So, pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
A Kind Voice Radio.
Welcome back to A Kind Voice Radio. I'm your host, Jessica Grinstan, and right now we're talking to Genevieve Frederick, founder of Feeding Pets of the Homeless. Genevieve, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
For the break, we were talking about you were telling us some beautiful stories about animal-human bond and companionship, and I want to know how people can get involved. You were talking about your donors and how they've been crucial to your success. Do you want to talk a little bit about the global giving campaign you have right now?
Oh, absolutely. People can, we have a number of revenue streams that come in, of course, checks, and then we always get the full amount. Some of the other revenue streams like Stripe that is on our website, they always have a fee involved, as well as Global Giving and Network for Good and Your Cause, PayPal. There's so many out there, and we kind of keep track of them all. But Global Giving is an excellent site, and it's easy to use, and then people can donate that way. But they can also go to our website and become a volunteer recruiter for their community. So by that I mean is that we give them all of the information that they need so that they can go out and talk to their vet, their groomer, their hairdresser, their banker, their church, you know, whatever they are comfortable and they know the owners of these companies and say, hey, how about being a donation site for this organization called Feeding Pets of the Homeless? And they can help them as much as they want. They could help count the pet food and take it to the local food pantry. They can identify the pet food pantry, and a lot of times the pantries and the food banks will come to the location and pick it up because they're doing rounds anyway to different grocery stores to pick up groceries and et cetera. So they don't mind making that extra stop. But we can tell the public of the almost 400 donation sites that we have right now. In the last 10 years, the ones that report back to us how much food they've collected from their clients and from the general public, and then they've taken it to XYZ Food Bank, it's over 606 tons of pet food and supplies. And that has a fair market value of over $2.5 million. So people across the country are just so generous, and it just is very heartwarming because they may have food that their vet says, you know, that's not the right food for your dog. They can tape that up and take it to a donation site. They don't have to throw it away, and then it'll be taken to a food bank where it'll be redistributed. So that's one way that people can volunteer. They can start a CrowdRise peer-to-peer fundraiser for us, and that is the that information is also on our website on how to do that. That's been very successful. They can help hold a pet food drive of their own. Maybe that's the Girl Scout troop that their daughter's in, and they need a project. They can have a 2-month or a month long or a week long pet food drive. So that's another way that people can help. We've had people, instead of giving me a birthday present, take some pet food over to the local donation site or donate money to Feeding Pets of the Homeless. So there's all kinds of creative ways people can help us. There's a insurance agency in my town that is planning to have the cutest dog of Carson City contest in his parking lot this summer. And there'll be prizes, and they're thinking of bringing in a photographer so that people can get their pet's picture taken as well. And the only entry fee will be dog or cat food. So you can get real creative.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. Like, dog shows would be perfect, and then people are interacting with other people, and they're interacting with the pets. What about like local dog parks?
Oh yeah, that's you know, they all are friends of each other. You know, when we have a dog park in my own neighborhood, and it's the same people and the same dogs every afternoon at a certain time. And it's people like that that get together and they socialize, and the dogs are socializing. This is a great way for them to say, hey, we could all bring some pet food next week or tomorrow, and then we'll have our own little pet food drive and take that pet food to a local donation site or straight to a food bank.
Is there how would listeners go about finding their closest donation site? Is that on your website?
It absolutely is. All the people have to do is go to petsofthehomeless.org, and it says looking for help, wanting to help. You put in your city's name. It takes you to an interactive map that will tell you exactly where the donation sites are in your town. It'll show you where if you're homeless, where to go get pet food. It will tell you resources, and it will also let you know if there are any shelters in the area that will allow pets. And you can make it smaller or bigger, and it has all the information. We try to keep it as up to date as possible. And we encourage people to let us know if they know of a resource in their community that might be of help to others that can come to our website and find whatever it is that they're looking for. So if it involves a pet, but we've got hundreds of donation sites and hundreds of pet food providers. And it's a very good interactive website.
Yeah, I just looked up my location. I'm in a suburb outside of Philadelphia, and there are six within 10 miles of me. Actually, one of them, Manna on Main Street, they do a lot of food drives for, low-income people and the homeless humans as well.
Perfect.
That's really cool. Yeah, it's so cool. I know exactly where it is, and yeah.
Good.
That's really neat.
Now you know where to go.
Exactly.
Awesome.
So how do you set up relationships with veterinarians and in other parts of the country?
Actually, when we need one in a community, we actually start cold calling. And we understand that they're running a business, and some of the hospitals do not want homeless people in their place of business. We get that. So we just move on to the next one that will allow us to send somebody to them so that they can be treated. And, you know, most of them have a big heart. They want to help. They are kind people that they got into this business because they love animals. And they, you know, they don't want the finances to, and we don't want the lack of finances to prevent a dog or a cat from getting treatment. And they have written off hundreds of thousands of dollars in discounts across the country. We've got, let me look this up. We've got 415 cities that we're working in 46 states. And two providences in Canada that we're also working with. So right now we've got 766 hospitals in our network.
Wow.
And we've had some good press coverage from the American Veterinarian Medical Society in their journals, and we get vets that will call us, or they will, you know, find out about us one way or another, and they'll say, I want to be involved, and we're great. We'll put you in our database so that the next time we have somebody in your city that needs your help, we know who to call. And a lot of times then they become, you know, a hospital that wants to do a wellness clinic as well because they see the benefit to their community. So it's kind
yeah.
of a, it's a, it's great. It's great.
Yeah, I was just thinking maybe you could do, I don't know if this has been done before, but a like a 5K run / walk where people take their dogs. I've been to a bunch of them where, you know, it's usually for something like cancer research or, people bring their dogs along, and it's just a fun event and raises some money for the cause, so.
That would be so fun. And, you know, that
yeah.
would be something that if somebody wanted to volunteer to do, we would certainly help them in any way we could on our end by giving them permission to use our logo. And, you know, we could just help in all kinds of ways like that. And it would be up to the individual volunteer how they want to run it and where they want to run
yeah.
it and how long it's going to be.
That is so cool.
But yeah, that would be.
Yeah,
fun.
Yeah. I'm actually a runner, so let me look into that, see if maybe we can set something up.
Well, that would be great.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah.
And then we could help publicize it on our end, because on our Facebook page we have 12,000 likes or fans that are
wow.
are corresponding with us almost every day. So we have a big social media presence, and it's
that's
getting
perfect.
Bigger every day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
so
awesome.
When a business becomes a donation site, what we'll do, and we're happy to do it, is we'll put it on all of our social media that this is a new donation site. But we also send out a press release to the local press in that community saying that this business is now partnering with Feeding Pets of the Homeless, and it's a good way for them to get some publicity, and people that may not be familiar with their business now will go there, and it's an opportunity for them to increase their clientele.
Yeah, definitely. I just noticed on the Global Giving site, this is a sort of a sad topic, but there people can also tour euthanasia, which is, you know, a way to relieve suffering. But can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes.
That has to be hard.
There's just, yeah, it is hard. And it's sometimes people call us saying that, I know my dog's dying and I don't know what to do. And we say, don't worry, we'll find you the nearest hospital and we'll take care of the expense for that. Because if you're homeless, what are you going to do? You know, your dog dies.
Right.
And anyway, so a lot of times the vet it'll be an emergency case. Maybe the dog's been hit by a car and the injuries are so extensive that the vet will say the best thing that we can do for this dog is to put him down. So, you know, he has the conversation with the homeless person, and then, of course, we pay for it. But then there's other cases where it's a cancer that has progressed to the point where, you know, it's not going to, it's going to suffer and it's not going to live that much longer. But, we're happy to do that, to put that animal out of their misery. But it is so sad, because this person is going to be lost now, because that's the only thing they had. And in some cases, this is the thing the only living thing that prevents them from committing suicide, because it is such a depressing situation for them once they get into homelessness, and it's so hard to get out of homelessness.
Yeah. Yeah, it is really tragic. I was reading a little bit about, I don't know if you've heard of the book, My Dog Always Eats First, when I was, you know, looking up.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're actually
in that
book.
Yeah, I was reading the Oh, you are. That's
yes.
funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
that's
it was
book.
A University of Colorado professor who went around and did interviews with homeless people and what their animals meant to them. Right. And I was reading a little bit. I was reading the introduction. It's available online where these people see a homeless person asking for money. And I forget what the location was. And anyway, they offered to buy the dog, and the homeless person was taken aback and said, you know, no way, you can't take my dog. And they're offering more and more money and, like, not understanding why why the dog, like, he would not sell his dog. And it's like,
Leslie Irvine is the author, and she interviewed me for the book. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that came out in 2013.
Uh-huh. I think so. I think
very
you're right.
Cool. Yeah. Very, very cool. Well, we have to take one more break, and when we get back, I want to ask you a little bit about your goals for the organization going forward.
There's nothing wrong with reaching out when you need. I'll be there for you, and maybe you can be for me. With a kind voice, a few kind words, an open ear for when you need to be heard, a warm heart, we can make that choice to be a kind voice, a few kind.
Hi, my name is Azim Kamisa. In January of 1995, while delivering pizzas to help him through college, my son Tariq was senselessly murdered by a 14-year-old gang member. Tariq was a wonderful young man who could light up the room with a joke. In the search to relieve my pain, I needed to find a way to use the sadness from this tragedy to help others. So by the end of 1995, after months of agonizing pain and introspection, I chose to start an organization to help stop kids from killing kids. And I reached out in forgiveness to the killer's grandfather and guardian in Brotherhood. We have worked together speaking to over 1 million youth and adults all over the world in bringing the lessons of peace and nonviolence for 20 continuous years. Now I'm asking you to add your kind voice to our efforts. For a peaceful world, we all need to embrace peace and forgiveness. We need you as a peacemaker. Having forgiven the past, any enemies, and at last, having forgiven yourself for any wrongdoing. To learn more, go to my website, is azimkamisa.com, which is AZIMKHAMISA.com. It is indeed time for peace.
A Kind Voice Radio.
Welcome back to A Kind Voice Radio. I'm your host, Jessica Grinspan, and we're talking to Genevieve Frederick, founder and president of Feeding Pets to the Homeless. Genevieve, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
So this is such an amazing thing that you're doing, and I find it really cool that there are donation sites right near me. So everybody should go to that website and look up where you can just drop off some food or donate in some way. Partnership, collaboration, and your goals going forward. I mean, do you partner with any organizations that try to tackle the problem of homelessness itself?
No, we don't. But, you know, I always am letting people know the importance of it. And it's that's, you know, we're not that's not part of our mission to end homelessness by any means, but we try to raise awareness of the importance of helping these people. And if that means helping them with pet food or helping them with veterinarian care, that's part of our mission. And part of my goals is to speak out on this issue of pets, of the homeless and disadvantaged, on radio shows like yours and on television, video clips, and on social media. But we collaborate with as many animal organizations as possible. So if there is a like program in a community and the homeless person calls us, and we will redirect that person. Well, this is already happening in your community, so go see, you know, whatever the organization's name is, give them a call. If they can't help you, call us back, and then we most certainly will. So that's how we work with others. We work with our local Humane Society here and another nonprofit that does spay and neuters. And during a wellness clinic, and we actually had the city involved because at a wellness clinic recently, the person walking in with their dog or cat got the exam, the vaccinations. They got a voucher for free spay and neuter if their dog hadn't or cat hadn't been altered. And then as they were leaving, they were offered, because they had the rabies certificate and tag, the city offered them a free dog license. So we try to, you know, get as many people involved so that when these people walk out the door, they're, and then we give them pet food as they walk out the door as well.
Yeah, one cool thing I think about this, it's interesting because a lot of people, you know, they don't see homeless people as human, and they even if they try not to, they're still silently judging, and you know, they don't talk to them. When you have a pet, it sort of makes them more accessible, even to make that human connection. It's like, oh, what a cute dog! You know, kids run up to animals all the time. That can be, it's sort of like a way to make a human connection so that you can actually see the homeless person as a human too and get, you know, foster that conversation.
Oh, that's so true. So true. Sometimes we'll have volunteers that will say, I would like to, and we have these little business cards that we give to our volunteers and to police officers and firemen, et cetera, that they can give to a homeless person, and it says homeless question mark. If you need pet food or vet care, call this number. And on the back, there's a place that they can, when they call us and they have something to write on, that they can put the doctor, you know, the hospital that we're going to refer them to. So we give these to anybody that, you know, emails me and says, I'd like some of those cards, because when I'm out and about and I see a homeless person with a dog, I'd like to be able to give them that card. Sometimes they'll give them food or water along with the card. So that's a way of spreading the word to that homeless community. And the word spreads very quickly, I have to tell you. The homeless community, they watch out for themselves. They give each other rides. They share an iPhone, and they share resources. So when we always ask, how did you hear about us? And it could be, well, I was at the library and found you on the internet. Or it could be, well, my friend told me about you because you helped his dog. Or it could be, well, my social worker is the one that told me. So there's all kinds of ways and how and reasons why they call. And it's just kind of exciting to see how word of mouth travels so quickly. I think that is why we have seen such an increase in the number of homeless people calling us, because word has spread through all kinds of streams of media, social media. It just goes on and on.
Yeah, definitely going to have to get some of those cards from you, because when I go into the city, I see a lot of homeless people with pets, and I don't know if they know of you, but that's a great thing to do. Yeah, you have this really cool article. It was like 8 reasons why homeless people deserve to have animals, deserve to have dogs. What do you think? What would you say to somebody who started out thinking, you know, this person can't care for him or herself? Why does he deserve an animal?
Yeah, that, you know what, that was a blog that somebody had written, and it was, we put it on our website.
Yeah, under About Us and FAQs, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I just love it, though. Yeah, if I could just read why do the homeless have pets when they can barely take care of themselves? Yeah. So in an article by Danielle Wolf, 8 Reasons Homeless People Deserve to Have Dogs, who are we to judge? This is the world that we live in. Dogs are hardy, resilient creatures who come to us when we need them. People who love their dogs find ways to care for them. The need for companionship is just as important as the need for food or shelter. I really like that one. Housing mm-hmm. does not mean that a person is good or bad. Homeless dogs are working dogs. And instead of criticizing, help. I really like that.
Yeah.
I really like that last one. Yeah.
That was a great article, and I was very happy to share that with everyone, because it all of those points, and then if anybody wants to read them, they can go to our website and check it out yourself. But it's you know, a couple of paragraphs after each one of those little, you know, dogs who love their dog. And you know what? These are working dogs. They are. They are out there mm-hmm. protecting their owners. They are giving them comfort. They're giving them so much more than they receive. And it's wonderful.
Yeah. And there are so many different directions. If we had more time, we could get into, but it's just like, they could be a mobile sanctuary for somebody who's struggling with mental health issues and addictions, and just, you know, it goes on and on, the benefits.
Oh, yeah, you get it. you understand so clearly. And and these are, you're the kind of person that is such a big supporter of us, because you get it. There are so many people that don't get it because they never experience that human animal bond. So,
yeah, that's true. I think people need to get out of their comfort zone, out of their bubble a little bit, and actually interact with these communities that are outside of themselves. Because then you learn that you're really, these preconceptions that you have are so, so often wrong.
Absolutely.
Well, Genevieve, thank you so much for coming on the show. And is there anything else you want to tell our listeners or direct? I know you're, they have the website address, petsofthehomeless.org. And yeah, anything else you want to say to the listeners?
Well, if anybody has any other questions, you can email me. I would be happy to reply back. If any of you want some of those homeless cards, shoot me an email. You can send it to info@petsofthehomeless. Give us your name, address, and we'll put some in the mail to you. We're happy to do that.
Yeah, I hope you get a good turnout with that. I'm definitely going to ask you to send me some of those, and hopefully we can spread the word a little bit more. All right. Well, thank you so much, Genevieve, and to all of our listeners. Hope you were inspired by Genevieve's story, petsofthehomeless.org, and hope you can do something this week to make the world a kinder, more connected place. Have a good evening.
How's your day? Come take my arm, let's walk. walk and sink away.